WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Good morning. This is James Flippin filling in for Noam Layden on this Thursday. It's April 4th, and here's your Ramsey Mazda three-day weather forecast. To kick things off, wet and windy around the tri-state this morning. There's flooding around. There were ground stops yesterday at the area airports, and there are trees down on highways in spots like Route 4 in New Jersey. Dealing with that, and we will get you more in just about 7 minutes with our traffic and transit update. Lori Blanchard on standby, getting ready to deliver that. But flood watches and coastal flood advisories remain in effect. The rain expected to taper off a bit here, although some showers stick around this afternoon, apparently. We'll get up to around 50 degrees later today, and skies will be mostly cloudy. It will remain windy. Overnight into Friday, rain still in the picture, falling to 38. Tomorrow, Friday, about a 20% chance of rain, the high near 53. It'll be breezy, but it does look mostly sunny this weekend. 40 degrees in Midtown Manhattan, 39 degrees in Colts Neck, New Jersey, 42 in Quahog on Long Island. That's the weather forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. So Noam Layden is out today, but he and I always say one of the most difficult parts of our workday here, and that says a lot maybe about the job, but also the particularities involved with working with Curtis Sliwa. The hardest part is coming up with what we say when we finish the news at noon ahead of Curtis's show. It's always a challenge to try to be kind of creative or funny or bust Curtis's chops somehow. So yesterday, because he was covering Mayor Adams and a banquet that the mayor had skipped honoring the president of Taiwan, a report suggested someone in the Chinese government pressured Adams not to go. So I told Curtis I'd end my newscast in Chinese in that vein.
In Chinatown, that was the announcement in both Mandarin and Cantonese to vote for Curtis Sliwa for mayor.
Yes.
But no, it wasn't. I actually used an online translator to say, I think we all can agree that Curtis Sliwa is the worst radio host of all time. Which, by the way, I don't really agree with. Okay, let's, you know, get the mushy stuff out of the way. But that's what it said, and I tricked Curtis.
That's right, James Flippin.
Because one of his guardian angels heard that segment and texted him, Curtis, there's been a big mistake. Somebody's out to get you. Sabotage. No, just some fun. And if you listen today at noon, maybe you'll be out getting lunch or taking a break, 7:70 a.m., the 77 WABC app on the Rip and Read. You'll be sure to hear Curtis rip me this Thursday for having the gall to mess with him like that.
That's right, James Flippin.
So that's later today. Also later today, day two of the congestion pricing hearing will be taking place in Newark, New Jersey, Newark, as a federal judge is hearing arguments concerning the MTA's plan to hit drivers with an additional $15 fee just for driving south of 60th Street in Manhattan. And this is part of New Jersey's lawsuit against the MTA's plan, which Governor Phil Murphy has repeatedly referred to as a cash grab. And one of the main contentions in New Jersey's lawsuit is that the federal environmental review process, which was completed and has been signed off on, was flawed. And basically, the claim is that it failed to consider the fact that more cars will be spending more time in New Jersey and on New Jersey's highways, for example, trying to find a way to avoid lower Manhattan. And that's especially true of big polluting trucks. People around the tri-state have spoke to that argument.
Everything's going up everywhere. I don't know if it's really going to work. It's going to make people park at different places, come down, take Ubers and stuff like that. The city's falling apart.
And by the way, while cars will be on the hook for $15 if congestion pricing goes forward as planned, trucks will pay up to $36. And that's, of course, nobody's really talking about this part of it, but that's going to increase the cost of goods. It's going to boost inflation because trucking companies are going to pass that on to retailers and so forth and so on, and prices go up. So the environment is part of the focus in this two-day hearing in Newark on congestion pricing, and the MTA has added some exemptions to its list, like yellow school buses, most city-owned vehicles, and commuter buses, but city employees still have to pay, and of course, so do motorists from New Jersey. Even though you're supposed to get a $5 discount, I think it is, if you come through the Holland or Lincoln tunnels. But one of the other main components of New Jersey's lawsuit is that it's all unfair because New Jersey gets none of the revenue. For example, nothing for NJ Transit. The money collected will all go toward the MTA and its subways, LIRR, and Metro North.
I mean, the prices, they're outrageous.
I don't understand why they had to be giving us these prices in the city. I will understand the breaches, yeah, but in the streets, on the city?
And of course, it's just the latest slap in the face to cab drivers, many of whom overpaid for a taxi medallion years ago, after which the city and state did, you know, basically nothing to require much licensure from Uber or Lyft. In their case, for years, it was just a TLC plate you needed. So now taxi drivers, cabbies, they face another new tax.
I don't know where I'm going to go, but I have to find somewhere else to make a living. We cannot no longer make a living with this congestion price they're going to put on us. It's not like it used to be. They squeeze every dollar we make out of your pocket.
And speaking of another new tax, the MTA isn't done here. Now the Metropolitan Transit Agency is coming for the New York City Marathon. Yeah, the transit agency wants the New York Roadrunners, the group behind the marathon, to pay a $750,000 toll every year for every marathon in November. And the MTA says because it has to close the Verrazano Bridge each year for the start of the race, it's entitled to the lost revenue. They also say the marathon can only use one level of the bridge if the race doesn't pay up, and that would force the marathon to cut down on the number of entrants. The Roadrunners have said they're open to negotiations with the big bad MTA, but they also note the subway system sees a major bump in traffic and usage during marathon weekend. I guess, you know, maybe the MTA figures with fare evasion, they better not take any chances. They just want to take the $750K. But many are reacting negatively to this latest move from the MTA. Staten Island President Vito Fasella says it's just the transit agency trying to make up for billions in wasted revenue. He's sued over congestion pricing, by the way, as has Governor Murphy, like we said, and New Jersey's governor blasted the marathon toll idea. Former Governor Cuomo's advisor, Melissa DeRosa, went further on X and said, this is more or less how you tax a city to death. She says, you know, going after events like the marathon that bring people and dollars into town isn't a good idea. She asked if people want the marathon to move to Boston, D.C., or San Francisco. And WABC News Time 5:09. James Flippin filling in for Noam Layden on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour. So good luck out there with the flooding and the downed trees. A good day to take it slow. We'll get you there eventually. 77 WABC contributor, former New York Governor Governor Patterson, throwing his support behind congressional candidate George Latimer, the current Westchester County executive who's trying to run and replace fellow Democrat Jamal Bowman in Congress. If Bowman sounds familiar, he's the guy who pulled the fire alarm ahead of a government funding vote, then said he was trying to open a door. But former Governor Patterson's endorsing Latimer here. New York's 16th congressional district now stretches from Westchester to the Bronx. It covers Co-op City, where Governor Patterson announced his endorsement, and the former governor says Latimer knows how to get things done and would be a force in Washington. Speaking of the Bronx, controversy has ensued this week after a group of migrant squatters were arrested last week at a Hull Avenue home where they were living in the basement. Upward of 8 migrants were arrested, but 6 of them were then released on their own recognizance, and that's despite Bronx DA Darcell Clark requesting they be held on $150,000 bail, because the defendants were allegedly caught with guns, ammo, drugs. Democratic Judge Daron Bowen cut them loose. Now, in recent weeks, Mayor Adams has been critical in many ways of the city's, I guess, the state's approach to crime in some ways. And I contacted City Hall yesterday and asked if Adams was willing to denounce Judge Bowen not holding these defendants on bail. But a spokesman responded in a more overarching way that Adams has specifically said every piece of our criminal justice system needs to be held accountable. Now, there was an update to that story out of the Bronx last night. It doesn't change what did or didn't happen with New York's criminal justice system, New York City. But Fox News, their cameras captured ICE agents removing people from the home on Hull Avenue. That's in the Norwood section of the Bronx. And Fox seemed to say 3 of the defendant migrants had been rearrested by ICE. In terms of Mayor Adams and what he's working on from a law enforcement or at least quality of life perspective, the NYPD and Adams reported yesterday that crime is down for the city as a whole. Stats showing overall crime dropped 5% in March, and that's year over year or in comparison to 2023. The cops highlighted a 24% drop in crime in the subway system. And that may surprise a lot of people who have heard a lot about crime in the subway. We know Governor Hochul deployed the National Guard into the system last month. The NYPD has flooded more cops into the system recently. Here's Mayor Adams yesterday at police headquarters in Lower Manhattan.
These random acts of violence get in the way of the good work we're doing. It sends a signal that this is a city that's out of control. In fact, the numbers show it is not out of control. This is the safest big city in America. And the numbers reflect that, and the movement of the police department continues to reflect that.
The NYPD reports the number of shootings fell by 26%. The number of car thefts, which skyrocketed coming out of the pandemic, declined for the fourth straight month. That all said, the numbers say felony assaults and rapes were up in March compared to March of last year. In announcing the drop in crime, Mayor Adams and NYPD officials say the biggest problem they're dealing with is recidivism, repeat offenders, convicted criminals, and that's something they've talked about extensively.
We're down 24% in March. We're down in February. Can we please stop saying we're up in crime in our subway system? We are not. We're down in crime in the subway system.
Mayor Adams went on to discuss the subway system as the heart and soul of the city, and he said there is something the subways definitely need. Yeah, the mayor says the subways don't have enough respect. They don't have enough decorum, he says.
What we've witnessed over the years is just an erosion of just the proper etiquette to ride our subway system. And that erosion has just continued and became an anything that goes system. And now we're taking this corrective action of what is expected. No one was taking the initiative of saying this is the expected behavior on our system. We're now taking that initiative.
So the mayor says cops are going to focus on breaking up fights, cracking down on people smoking in the subway system, and people being disruptive in that type of way. In Taiwan, the official death toll remains 9, with over 1,000 injured following yesterday's devastating 7.4 magnitude quake that centered on the east coast of Taiwan. Our owner-operator John Katsimatidis here at 77 WABC shared a heartwarming but also scary video on X where nurses in a newborn unit at a hospital in Taiwan are just basically trying to desperately hold together the bassinets or cribs, I'm not really sure what you call them, in the hospital there. But sadly, crews continue to search for people that could be trapped under rubble. And here in the States, experts based in California are weighing in as to how a major quake like this would affect the Golden State.
Seismologist Lucy Jones says it would depend on which fault the tremor triggers.
Loma Prieta as a 7 didn't do as much as it could have if it had been closer to urban areas. A 7.4 on the Hayward Fault is one of the worst disasters that San Francisco could be looking at.
Beyond magnitude, the USGS says both location and depth can affect how strong a quake feels and how much damage it causes. Wednesday's powerful quake struck the city of Hualien, creating a tsunami that washed across the southern island of Japan. No tsunami warnings were issued for California. Nika Magalhis, NBC News Radio.
Yeah, and Californians are checking in with family after that massive quake. These travelers on a flight from Taipei had just arrived at San Francisco International Airport Tuesday night. That's when they learned about the major trembler.
They are all okay, but they're scared, terrified. Yeah. It's a very big one. A lot of things drop down.
I have to spend a lot of time to clean everything. I don't know how much the money losing.
The 7.4 magnitude quake rocked the country. It collapsed hundreds of buildings and triggered, as we said, tsunami warnings across the region. The island's biggest earthquake in 25 years is back in 1999. A 7.6 magnitude quake killed more than 2,000 people in Taiwan. WABC News time coming up on 5:16. So we're going to turn to Justin Ellick and get the latest in sports. Justin?
Thank you, James Flippin. Got to start here on the ice in the NHL, where fireworks, if you will, ensued immediately following the opening faceoff at the Garden last night between the Rangers and Devils. All 10 skaters on the ice got into brawls right off the opening faceoff. 8 players were ejected after receiving game misconducts basically before the game even really started, forcing both teams to play with 4 fewer skaters the rest of the way. Matt Rampe, Barkley Goodrow, Jacob Trouba, and Keandre Miller were forced off as a result for the Rangers, while Kevin Ball, Curtis McDermott, Chris Tierney, and John Marino were sent off for the Devils. Head coaches Peter Laviolette of the Rangers and New Jersey's Travis Green were also yelling at each other from their respective benches before play resumed. After the fighting, once the dust did settle, Chris Kreider scored a power play goal late in the third period, and the Rangers rallied to beat the Devils 4-3. Artemi Panarin and Alexi Lafreniere each had a goal and an assist, and Kaapo Kakko also scored for the NHL-leading Rangers. Igor Shesterkin finished with 17 saves as New York won for the 6th time in 7 games and 11th in its last 14. Tonight, the Islanders continue their playoff push in Columbus, gearing up for a 7 p.m. puck drop with the Blue Jackets on the diamond in Arizona. Aaron Judge hit his first home run of the season and added an RBI double in a two-run 11th inning, boosting the Yankees over the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-5 to complete an opening 6-1 road trip for New York. Judge entered 3-for-24 with one RBI, his fewest hits ever through six games. He gave the Yankees a 2-1 lead with a two-run opposite field homer to right center in the fourth off Merrill Kelly. Here's what that sounded like, courtesy of the great John Sterling and WFAN.
And the right-handed deal swung on, hit high in the air to right center. That ball's high. It is far. It is gone. It is a two-run home run for Aaron Judge, and the Yankees take the lead. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
There you go, Johnny Sterling, on off day for the Bombers to look forward to today for the home opener at the stadium tomorrow night. In Queens, the Mets were obviously washed out once again, so they'll engage in a doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers starting early this afternoon with a 12:10 p.m. first pitch for game. Are they going to get this in today, Flippin?
I'm trying to figure that out, because if you got a doubleheader, you know, today is supposed to start out relatively dry.
Right.
But then you've got rain around still this afternoon. So I don't know how you're supposed to get two games in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess they're trying to combat that with starting at 12:10. That's the first pitch for game one.
So maybe they get the one game in then.
Right. Maybe they at least get one in. I think that's going to end up being the most realistic goal here. They'll send out Adrian Hauser. This guy's been preparing for a start for 3 days now against Detroit's Casey Mize. Jose Buto gets the ball for New York in game two, going against Detroit's Matt Manning if that game does end up being played. On the NBA hardwood in Brooklyn, Cam Thomas scored 27 points. Rookie Noah Clowney had a career high 22 points and 10 rebounds in the Nets. Outlasted the Indiana Pacers 115-111. Nets were eliminated from postseason contention when Atlanta beat Detroit at home to wrap up at least a spot in the NBA play-in tournament. Brooklyn last missed the playoffs in 2017-2018. Looking ahead to tonight in local basketball, the Knicks are back in action at home at the Garden, gearing up for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off against the Sacramento Kings. That's your sports, James, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 5:21. James Flippin filling in this morning on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour. So we told you earlier about the ongoing rescue operations in Taiwan following the earthquake. Well, down in Baltimore, efforts continue in response to the key bridge collapse. But this week's nasty weather is making things especially difficult. U.S. Coast Guard Rear Admiral Shannon Gilreath.
Now, we need to lift those undamaged containers off to give us space to safely operate, to begin to plan to remove portions of the bridge that are also now embedded into the ship. But we need a weather window to do that.
Yeah, what he's talking about is trying to get these containers off of the dolly, which is the massive cargo ship that crashed into one of the bridge's support pillars, bringing the whole thing down. But they really do need a break in the weather. Crane operations put on hold due to severe thunderstorms and high winds. Crews were still able to carry out some salvage assessments, and divers on scene are conducting underwater surveys to map out plans for wreckage removal. But Colonel Esty Pinchason with the Army Corps of Engineers says there's basically no visibility under the water.
Divers are working basically in darkness, because if they used lights, if we lit it up, it would be like they were driving through a snowstorm with their high beams on.
And Colonel Pinchason says the water's murky. It's filled with debris. Divers basically are working in darkness, like she said. So Monday, speaking of darkness, parts of the U.S. will experience a total solar eclipse.
There's nothing I can do, a total eclipse.
Now, I'm running out of time to use that little soundbite there, so I got to get it in while I can.
The best spots to see the solar eclipse on April 8th will be in Jamestown, Rochester, Buffalo, and Plattsburgh.
We have been preparing for this for many, many, many months. It's going to be great for our tourism. It's going to bring in thousands, if not millions, of people.
Governor Hochul says roads like the Thruway will likely be jammed. Cell service could even be interrupted, but state lawmakers say in the end, it'll all be worth it.
Planets and stars will suddenly fill the sky. Birds and animals will go quiet. And a rare chance to see a solar corona.
Noam Layden, WABC News.
But there are some concerns here beyond just traffic on the roadways or your cell reception, as the weather forecast, surprise, surprise, may not cooperate. Monday could be cloudy. That'll make it hard to see the natural phenomenon. And there's the potential for thunderstorms on Monday. For New York City, the best you can do is an 89% eclipse. And there are lots of free eclipse events being planned at city parks. Other great viewing sites include the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, the Intrepid Museum on the west side, the American Museum of Natural History, and One World Trade Center's observatory. In New Jersey, at the Liberty Science Center, you will have a good viewing spot. And then in Westchester, there's the Hudson River Museum. Free eclipse glasses, by the way. You do need special ones that basically block out all visible light. They're being handed out at New York State Thruway rest stops. The Moynihan Train Hall has them. And Long Island Railroad ticket windows also. And I'm not sure if they still have those supplies on hand, but I know the New York City Public Library System had a bunch of glasses. We also had a chance this week to talk to Dr. Sky, Steve Cates, an expert in astronomy, space, aviation, and weather.
I think it's one of the most amazing events in astronomy, but I guess I'm biased. But if you haven't seen an eclipse, even a deep partial eclipse that many in the New York City area will see this coming Monday, April the 8th, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really a whole lot of buildup for what is a pretty brief event.
Rochester gets 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Syracuse gets 2 minutes. Watertown gets 3 minutes and 37 seconds.
So Monday afternoon, you'll want to have those approved glasses ready.
The maximum of this eclipse is at 3:25 p.m. when 91% of the sun is obscured by the moon. It all ends about 4:36 in the afternoon. Normally, these good solar glasses, when they're in good shape, they'll give you a safe view of all the partial phases. So when this partial phase is happening in the New York City area, you 100% of the time want to keep them on if you're going to stand there through the whole duration.
All right, so that's Monday. Yesterday, a Manhattan judge denied former President Trump's request to delay his so-called alleged hush money trial involving adult film star Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. Trump had asked the court to delay the proceedings ahead of a Supreme Court ruling that's expected to come down on presidential immunity.
Trump is being charged with falsifying business records and has repeatedly tried to get New York Judge Juan Merchan recused from the case. On Wednesday, Merchan shot down Trump's bid to use presidential immunity as part of his defense. The judge also denied Trump's motion to delay the trial's start date. I'm Brian Shook.
Yeah, and the controversy over Judge Merchan has basically been that His adult daughter, works as an activist within the Democratic Party community. And Laura Loomer, who's an independent journalist, she's done a lot of reporting on this. And the fact that, you know, Judge Merchan's daughter is highly paid and highly compensated in the way that she basically is sort of an anti-Trump operative. And Trump has said that that basically makes for a conflict of interest. President Biden yesterday laid out his efforts to lower health care costs for Americans. It was during a White House event alongside Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Biden said seniors on Medicare will not have to pay more than $2,000 per year for prescription drugs starting next year. And that's part of his Inflation Reduction Act.
Drug companies are charging exorbitant prescription drug prices. Higher prices than anywhere in the world. And Bernie said it. I was listening in the back. Bernie, you and I have been fighting this for 25 years. Finally, we beat Big Pharma.
Biden also celebrated the decision by three of the four largest inhaler manufacturers to cap the cost of inhalers for many patients at $35 a month. And then the president criticized Trump, saying that the former president wants to get rid of the Inflation Reduction Act and the Affordable Care Act. But I know Trump has actually said that he wants to improve the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. WABC News Time, 5:29. So we told you that Bernie Sanders, the independent senator for Vermont, was at the White House yesterday to discuss efforts regarding drug prices. And Sanders is also continuing to advocate for a four-day work week. He penned an op-ed for CNN that's out this week saying a 32-hour work week with no loss in pay is an important step in standing up for working families. Sanders cited a study by the Rand Corporation, which notes that while the wealthy are doing well, weekly wages for the average American worker have actually gone down, that report says, when adjusting for inflation. And actually, we've got some stories concerning things going on at work, like a new bill in California that aims to give you the right to disconnect. We've also got a new story about how enrollment is up in vocational training programs. Apparently, Gen Z is looking at the tool belt generation And that's the moniker that they're using here. Also, an update on what's going on with the guy that we used to call Puff Daddy and now we call Diddy, Sean Combs. What's the latest with him? WABC News Time, 5:30. James Flippin filling in for Noam Leiden on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour. Those stories and more when we get back.
The 77 WABC News Hour. Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Leiden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Morning, James Flippin filling in for Noam Leiden on this Thursday. It's April 4th. Your Ramsey Mazda three-day weather forecast here. Wet and windy around the tri-state this morning. Flood watches and coastal flood advisory still in effect. The rain expected to taper off here a bit this morning, although some showers stick around this afternoon, and we'll get up to 50 degrees later today. Skies will be mostly cloudy, and it will remain windy. Overnight into Friday, rain still in the picture, falling to 38. Tomorrow, about a 20% chance of rain, the high near 53. It'll stay breezy. Saturday and Sunday look sunny. 40 in Midtown Manhattan, 39 in Colts Neck, New Jersey, 42 in Quahog on Long Island, and that's the weather forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. A new bill in California aims to give employees more work-life balance by restricting employers' ability to contact them during off hours. The proposed bill would mandate companies to better specify employee compensated hours and prohibit them from expecting employees to respond to calls, texts, or emails outside of that time frame. And they're calling it the Right to Disconnect Law, and that's grown in attention nationwide. Enrollment in vocational training programs is on the rise. Enrollment in community college and four-year institutions is falling. According to data from the National Student Clearinghouse, the number of students enrolled in vocational community colleges rose 16% last year. Construction trades rose 23%, and programs covering HVAC and vehicle maintenance increased by 7%. Meanwhile, the median pay for new construction hires rose 5%. That's to $48,000 last year. That's the median pay. And then a jobber survey of high school and college age people found 75% say they would be interested in vocational schools offering paid on-the-job training. Sean Diddy Combs' ex-girlfriend is sharing new footage of the raid on the hip-hop mogul's L.A. home. She's accusing agents of using militarized force against her son.
In surveillance footage, Sean Combs' son, 26-year-old Christian Combs, is seen surrounded by officers with their rifles raised. He was briefly detained, and Misa Hilton wrote she wonders if they would be treated the same if they were the children of a white celebrity. Federal agents raided Combs' L.A. and Miami homes on March the 25th, reportedly part of an ongoing sex trafficking and racketeering investigation. I'm Mark Mayfield.
From California across the Pacific to Taiwan, where emergency crews are still trying to reach hundreds of people in need of rescue after yesterday's major earthquake in the island's eastern portion. Taiwan's National Fire Agency says nearly 700 people are still believed to be stranded in hard-hit areas. It was a 7.4 quake yesterday, the worst in Taiwan in 25 years. Over 90 buildings damaged, hundreds of residents have been displaced, and over 1,000 people were injured. We know at least nine have been killed. And we told you this morning, the MTA wants to bill the New York City Marathon $750,000 because of lost revenue, given they have to close the Verrazano Bridge. Mayor Adams says, speaking of the MTA, that transit crime is down within the subway system. And just this morning at 8:15, we'll have Michael Kemper, the NYPD subway chief. He's joining Sid Rosenberg on Sid and Friends in the Morning. So chances are they'll discuss those numbers, which show that crime is down 24% in the subway. WABC News Time, 5:39. James Flippin filling in this morning on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour. So the largest pickleball facility in the Northeast is being built in New Jersey. It's a 60,000 square foot facility going up in Mercer County at the former Robbinsville Fieldhouse Sports Center. There'll be 20 courts where paddle wielding pickleballers will play a game that's described as a combination of tennis and badminton. The venue will be called the Robbinsville Pickle House and will open this fall in collaboration with USA Pickleball, which is the governing body of the game that's been named the fastest growing sport in America. So, would you pay more to purchase food grown in a certain way? The USDA says this helps the environment by fighting climate change.
It is an extraordinarily important day for American agriculture and for our country.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says the first foods made as part of the USDA's Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program will hit the shelves soon.
This is the first commercially produced climate smart product. It's long grain rice. It's a 2-pound bag of rice. It's the first of what I suspect will be hundreds of products that are produced in the country to respond to consumer demand for sustainably produced food.
He says the program gives farmers incentives for adopting climate-friendly production techniques and practices. Right now, there are about 140 climate smart projects underway all across the nation. You can learn more about the program on farmers.gov. I'm Rebecca Hughes.
Well, this is a story Curtis Sliwa will give me brownie points for reporting. Plans are getting underway to airlift a stranded killer whale calf out of a remote tidal lagoon, this off the northern coast of Vancouver Island in Canada, and it's in an effort to reunite the young orca with its extended family. Reporting from the CBC says officials have a plan that involves placing the 2-year-old calf into a sling, lifting it out of the lagoon by helicopter, and then putting it into a holding net pen in the ocean. That's while they wait for its family pod to be nearby before releasing it. First Nation Chief Simon John says this whole process has been aimed to reunite it with its pod. The calf's pregnant mother was caught in the lagoon when the tides went out and she died. The calf hasn't followed officials' efforts to lead it back out to sea. Now, if you like to use Spotify to listen to your music, get ready for another price jump this year. That's according to a report in Bloomberg. The outlet says the music streaming service will raise the price for individual subscription plans by $1 and $2 for duos and family subscribers. That's later this year. Spotify last raised its monthly subscription prices to about $11 for individuals and around $17 for families last July. Bloomberg also reports that Spotify will begin to offer a new music and podcast-only subscription tier. That's for $11 a month. Audiobooks will cost you extra. And New York City-based JetBlue Airlines charging more for checked luggage during peak hours. JetBlue's new peak and off-peak pricing structure began March 22nd. They did not give a notice, JetBlue, but it's the second time this year that they've changed their fees. The fees apply to domestic flights, with the first checked bag during peak travel times costing $5 more. The second checked bag costs you an additional $10. Peak hours make up about half the year. They include most of April, the weeks around the holidays, and the entire summer. There are also additional fees for bag checks within 24 hours of a flight, as well as oversized bags. JetBlue now telling CNN that increased fuel costs and higher pay for employees are the reason for the increased prices. Well, two paramedics in Ohio are out of a job after they mistakenly declared a woman dead.
The Springfield Township Board of Trustees voted to take the action on Tuesday. First responders Aiden Yoon and William Fordyce found the victim unresponsive inside a home during an early January call with an attentive pit bull by her side. The dog was finally removed after about 40 minutes, allowing the medics to get close, at which point they noted the victim had no pulse and a coroner was called. Staff from the coroner's office, however, determined that the victim appeared to be trying to breathe. They began CPR, administered Narcan, and sent her to the hospital. I'm Michael Kastner.
Disney's critics may like what they're hearing from CEO Bob Iger, as yesterday during the shareholder meeting that Disney held, Iger said the company's job is not to advance any kind of agenda. He says its job, first and foremost, is to entertain. Iger also told shareholders that they've turned the corner and entered a new positive era for the Walt Disney Company. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says to expect it sometime this year, but it appears the Federal Reserve won't be cutting interest rates anytime that soon.
That comes after higher-than-expected inflation readings for the beginning of the year. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said Wednesday it's too soon to say whether the recent readings represent more than just a bump. Interest rates currently stand at 5.25 and 5.5. I'm Lisa Taylor.
And in terms of yesterday's economic data, the ADP National Employment Report came out. Private sector employment was up by 184,000 jobs last month. Annual pay increased 5.1%, 10% if you left your job and took a new job. In March, the ISM services PMI came in cooler than expected. The S&P Global's services PMI showed sustained growth last month. So what's up today on the economic calendar? Well, as we always get on Thursday, initial jobless claims will be due out around 8:30, and right around that same time, the U.S. trade balance for February will be printed. A New York State Assemblywoman is calling on her colleagues to pass legislation that would crack down on illegal smoke shops, illegal pot shops. Assemblywoman Jennifer Rajkumar says the Smokeout Act would allow the closure of more than 35,000 illegal shops selling marijuana without a license.
The Smokeout Act would allow New York City to smoke them all out and shut down all the illegal cannabis stores in short order.
And currently, only the state has the power to shut down illegal pot shops, but Rajkumar's bill would allow the city to directly take care of the problem.
But the state simply doesn't have the manpower to get the job done.
So, you like sports? Well, tomorrow at 7:45, Yankees great, the best closer of all time, Mariano Rivera, will be on with Sid Rosenberg. And right now, WABC News Time, 5:45, we're going to get the latest in sports from Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noam. Oh, jeez.
You know, old habits die hard.
They really do. I mean, my God, but you look nothing like him.
I have a little more hair than he does.
Exactly. James Flippin, there you go. Put some respect on the man's name. Got to start on the ice here in the NHL, James, where fireworks ensued immediately following the opening faceoff at the Garden last night between the Rangers and Devils. All 10 skaters on the ice got into brawls right off the opening faceoff. 8 players were ejected after receiving game misconducts basically before the game even really started, forcing both teams to play with 4 fewer skaters the rest of the way. Matt Rampe, Barkley Goodrow, Jacob Trouba, and Keandre Miller were forced off as a result for the Rangers, while Kevin Ball, Curtis McDermott, Chris Tierney and John Marino were sent off for the Devils. Head coaches Peter Laviolette of the Rangers and New Jersey's Travis Green were also yelling at each other from their respective benches before play resumed after the fighting. Once the dust did settle, Chris Kreider scored a power play goal late in the third period, and the Rangers rallied to beat the Devils 4-3. Artemi Panarin and Alexei Lafreniere each had a goal and an assist, and Kapokako also scored for the NHL-leading Rangers. Shesterkin finished with 17 saves, and New York won for the 6th time in 7 games and 11th in its last 14. Tonight, the Islanders, they'll continue their playoff push in Columbus, gearing up for a 7 p.m. puck drop with the Blue Jackets. On the diamond in Arizona, Aaron Judge hit his first home run of the season and added an RBI double in a 2-run 11th inning, boosting the Yankees over the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-5 to complete an opening 6-1 road trip for New York. Judge entered 3-for-4 with a 1 RBI, his fewest hits ever through 6 games. He gave the Yankees a 2-1 lead with a 2-run opposite field home run to right center in the 4th off Merrill Kelly. Here's what that sounded like, courtesy of John Sterling and WFAN.
And the right-handed deal swung on, hit high in the air to right center. That ball's high. It is far. It is gone. It is a 2-run home run for Aaron Judge, and the Yankees take the lead. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
An off day for the Bombers to look forward to today for the home opener at the stadium tomorrow afternoon in Queens. The Mets obviously washed out once again, so they'll engage in a doubleheader, hopefully, with the Detroit Tigers starting early this afternoon with the 12:10 p.m. first pitch for Game 1, where the Mets will send out Adrian Hauser. Jose Buter gets the ball for New York in Game 2, going against Detroit's Matt Manning. On the NBA hardwood in Brooklyn, Cam Thomas scored 27. Rookie Noah Clowney had a career-high 22. And the Nets outlasted the Indiana Pacers 115-111. Looking ahead to tonight in local basketball, the Knicks are back in action at home at the Garden, gearing up for 7:30 p.m. tip-off against the Sacramento Kings. That's your sports, James, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time, 5:48. The great Sid Rosenberg shaking my hand as we speak right now. 5:50 on this Thursday morning, April 4th. James Flippin filling in for Noam. And so coming off of Justin's sports report, this is a sports story, but also a news story of the more traditional variety, so that means it's sad often. And sadly here, the Islanders will donate the proceeds from this Saturday's charity raffle at UBS Arena in Elmont to Detective Jonathan Diller's wife and baby. The team will give the purse from the 50-50 to the fallen NYPD cop's widow, Stephanie Diller, and their 1-year-old son, Ryan. The Islanders made that announcement at UBS Arena before Tuesday's game against the Blackhawks. They held a moment of silence. The arena had its lanterns lit in blue in honor of Detective Diller, and the NYPD officer from Massapequa was killed in the line of duty by a career criminal. He was a huge Islanders fan, and the team hosts these 50-50 raffles at almost every game. The proceeds do benefit various charities. Well, the NYPD and City Hall say crime is down in New York City. Stats show overall crime dropped 5% in March year over year, highlighted by a 24% drop in crime in the subway system.
This is the safest big city in America, and the numbers reflect that, and the movement of the police department continues to reflect that.
Mayor Adams says the number of shootings fell by 26%. The number of car thefts, which really went up in terms of coming out of the pandemic, they declined for 4 months in a row, did car thefts. And in announcing the drop in crime, Mayor Adams says that the biggest problem in terms of crime is repeat offenders, Police Commissioner Edward Caban.
And the lack of consequence makes it easy to reoffend without a second thought. This is incredibly frustrating to law enforcement.
The number of felony assaults and rapes were up in March compared to March of 2023. Chief of Transit Michael Kemper says they're targeting fare evaders, but basically keep arresting the same people.
We are arresting people every single day, over and over and over again. Is that clear? Does everyone hear what I'm saying? Where are the consequences?
And 8:15 this morning, as you just heard there, Michael Kemper, he'll join Sid Rosenberg as a guest. Iconic locations for Britain's royal family will be open to the public for the first time ever this summer. The East Wing of Buckingham Palace and Balmoral Castle in Scotland will begin offering tours starting in July. The tour of the palace's East Wing will include a stop in the room where the royals gather before they step out on the palace's balcony to wave to the public. The East Wing is being open to the public following more than 5 years of renovations. And meanwhile, the public able to go inside Balmoral Castle for the first time since it was completed in 1855. A favorite summer retreat spot for the royal family, also where Queen Elizabeth II died in 2022. And staying across the pond, Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling says free speech is at an end in Scotland.
This week, the country passed the Hate Crime and Public Order Bill, which says stirring up hatred against any of the protected groups covered by the bill is considered a crime, which includes transgender people. Rowling then went on a social media tirade against transgender people and said freedom of speech and belief are at an end in the country. She also taunted police and said she looks forward to being arrested when she returns to Scotland. I'm Mark Mayfield.
On the west coast of the U.S., the home where Marilyn Monroe died is causing disputes between city leaders and neighbors. And this is in Brentwood, California.
Marilyn Monroe is quoted as saying, "Once you are famous, you experience life as an object." Now one of her objects is up for historic preservation. L.A. City Councilwoman Tracy Park filed the paperwork to prevent demolition. Neighbors say that'll attract even more tourists and trespassers. Meanwhile, ABC 7 reports the home's owners live next door, and they, along with the Marilyn Monroe estate, want the house physically moved to a more public location. A vote on the historic preservation could come this week. I'm Lucinda Kay.
In New Jersey, there's a new effort underway aimed at reducing distracted driving. The state's attorney general and transportation officials have announced the launch of a campaign called You Drive, You Text, You Pay. And that runs all month. More than $1 million in grants are going toward boosting patrols that target drivers who text, talk on the phone, or do other distracted things while driving. Violators face fines of up to $400 for a first offense, up to $800 for additional offenses. And looking ahead to Monday, people around the tri-state, especially people in parts of upstate New York, are getting ready for Monday's solar eclipse.
It all begins at 2:10 p.m. and by 3:35 p.m., New York City will see 91% darkness as the moon blocks out the sun. As always, Dr. Sky, a frequent contributor on 77 WABC, tells us about this once-in-a-lifetime event.
I think it's one of the most amazing events in astronomy, but I guess I'm biased. But if you haven't seen an eclipse, even a deep partial eclipse that many in the New York City area will see this coming Monday, April the 8th. It's fascinating.
Make sure to wear solar eclipse approved glasses. You can be a part of the experience at drskyeclipse.com and on wabcradio.com. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
The Biden administration says it has no plans to change its policy toward Israel after seven humanitarian aid workers were killed in an Israeli airstrike. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre telling reporters that the president expects a swift and thorough investigation into that incident.
You heard from the president last night in his statement. He's outraged and he's heartbroken. We are all heartbroken here.
And she says the White House is staying the course.
We are very clear about where we stand. I think the president's statement was incredibly powerful, impactful.
Ugh.
I mean, she's an idiot, an asshole. The president is a moron, and we don't care what the president wants and what swift response. We don't care about Biden. We don't care about Blinken. We don't care about Sullivan. We certainly don't care about this moron. So she can talk tough all she wants. This is BB's war. He made a mistake. He apologized more than once. And what he said is inarguable, which is this is what happens during war. Innocent people tend to die. Anybody who thinks the Israelis did this on purpose is a scumbag.
And also, I think, Sid, you have to say that, you know, it's not like the U.S. doesn't have blood on its hand with, like, accidental airstrikes and, you know, I mean, come on, stuff happens.
Mark Levin talked about it on my show yesterday. We're not that far removed from Afghanistan, where a bunch of aid workers got wiped out by Biden. I believe 9 to be exact. Biden never apologized. Biden never talked about it, ever. But if Israel does it, oh, that becomes a worldwide mess. Biden did it in Afghanistan, never said a word. That's when you know this administration is garbage.
And we're just a few minutes away from Sid and Friends in the Morning. It's 5:59, and that means it's time to check in with executive producer Justin Ellick. Now he's not just the sports guy. He's also the executive producer of Sid and Friends in the Morning. So what, pray tell, can we look for this morning?
We can look for, in the way of guests, James Flippin kicking us off. 6:45 early on here. It's going to be Brian Kilmeade before Curtis Sliwa live in studio at 7:15, as is the case every day. We'll have a little mother-son time at 7:45 this morning. The great Naomi Rosenberg, the real host of this program, she'll be joining us before Big Bad Bill O'Reilly at 8:45. Of course, the segment of the week right before Andrew Giuliani wraps us out today. James at 9:15. We'll do him today. He's usually on Friday. We'll do him. Oh, well, I didn't know about that.
Yep,
we got Chief,
okay.
Chief of Transit.
We've been promoting it all morning.
Well, there you go. Chief of Transit. Sorry, I was a little busy doing other stuff. I wasn't exactly listening to every second of your beautiful program. Not to say that it wasn't.
How dare you.
But not to say that it wasn't great. I was a little bit distracted. Mike Kemper, 8:15. Obviously, on all the stuff going on with the transit crime and the rift on social media with the cops and this Daily News writer.
Yeah, so, how about that? Jeez, yeah. That's right. All right, so that's Justin Ellick and Sid and Friends coming up. Congestion pricing hearing, that continues in Newark today. The MTA wants to build a marathon, $750,000. And while Mayor Adams says crime is down in the subway, he wants to up respect in the subway. And Taiwan, 7.4 magnitude earthquake has killed 9, injured over 1,000. Rescuers continuing to look for survivors. I'm James Flippin. It's Thursday, April 4th. Good morning, everybody. Sid coming up next.